Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Dev Chats. I am today's host, Alex VR. Thanks so much for joining us here on this special Blade and Sorcery Nomad episode of Dev Chats. And I am joined here by Baron, producer over at Warp Frog and community manager at Blade and Sorcery. Hello, Baron. Dude, thank you for being here and joining us today.
Hello, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You look fantastic, I gotta say.
I'm very impressed with this outfit.
You are decked out. is this an outfit that's available in Blade and Sorcery Nomad as well? You can just wear this one, this pirate outfit?
Well, I'll tell you a little Easter egg. There is, ooh, Baron's hat is actually in Blade and Sorcery hidden. I think most people have found it by now, but yeah, that is a little Easter egg.
Nice. Wow, man, that's like life goals right there. Like you have a hat that's an Easter egg in one of the most popular VR titles ever. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was chuffed with it. And I remember too, this is going way, way, way back. I think it was update 5 or something like that, maybe a year or 2 years ago. I was playing Blade and Sorcery live streaming the update, and the developer Cosby was on the update, and he said to me in the live stream, I won't say where it was, or actually I can say where it was. It was in the drawer. He's like, hey, check that drawer out. And it was like live. I pulled open the drawer, saw a little hat, and was blown away.
So you didn't even know?
I didn't even know. Yeah, he caught me out with it. It was brilliant.
Wow, man. So, and then you took off the headset and you called your parents and you're like,
Mom, yeah, this is it.
I made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Congratulations on the Easter egg hat. I will definitely go looking for it. And congratulations to the team too for the successful launch of Blade and Sorcery Nomad. I mean, Blade and Sorcery is widely known in the VR world. It's highly regarded as, I would say, the top, combat simulator that exists in the world, and now it's available standalone on the Oculus Quest 2. I mean, is this something that's been on the horizon for you guys? Like, is this like always been something, or did you guys kind of pivot? Tell us a little bit about the process going into the Quest.
Man, it was crazy because for 3 years, we spent, all that time telling people, this isn't going to happen. Like, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Because I guess there was multi kind of factors in how it all came about. The first one was, when we first thought about the Quest port, it was like the Quest 1 was the problem. Because it just wasn't happening. And we really tried, but the Quest 1 just couldn't make it in specs. And we had to tone the game down so much to work on the Quest 1 that it just wasn't even Blade and Sorcery anymore. So that was like the first big thing that we said, no way. And then why that changed was when we realized that we could just do the Quest 2 and not do the Quest 1. I know that sucks for Quest 1 players, but it was like, if we just focus on Quest 2, maybe it's possible. So that's when it kind of entered the maybe realm. And then the big kind of pivot was, I don't know if you remember the PC VR development, but we had update 8 and there was a lot of performance issues with that update. It was quite troublesome. And so a lot of time was spent, about 6 months was spent redoing the whole framework, I guess, to improve the performance, because that was what was causing all the trouble. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a huge success. It was a lot of work, 6 months, as I say, but it was a huge success. And so we had this 8.4 beta. Everyone was loving it in terms of performance. It was really a big boost for us. And so much so that it kind of got to the stage where it's like, maybe we could do this, on the Quest. Mm-hmm. Maybe, this is working out. Like, this performance update is working out. Like, we're making a lot of gains here. So that kind of like opened the door to the exploration when we start actually genuinely looking at it. And then, of course, it was the whole thing of like, we don't want to screw Quest players. So we really want to make sure there's dungeons. In other words, we want to make sure everything works. Like, we want to get as much of the PC game onto Quest as possible. Or if not, it's not really worth it because we don't want to,
Yeah, you can't ship some sticks and stones version of your game.
Yeah, don't want a watered down version of the game, on the Quest. So we started looking into that, and just like Cosby and the team, they just made a ton of performance improvements. It started to look more and more possible, And then, you know, we really pushed the limit of how much we could squeeze out of the Quest 2, you know, just straddling on that border. Like, so Oculus QA, you know, they want to make sure that every Quest experience has 72 frames per second. That's the Quest frame per second. So, you know, we were just constantly straddling that line of how much can we push it before it starts to dip in frames. And so, you know, that's kind of where we left it, you know, with launch, straddling that. So we still have optimization work to do. Now that we have lots of feedback on how it's performing, we have some more optimization to do. But anyway, that's kind of how it came to be. You know, it was just, it started off with that really unfortunate update 8 where it was like mega performance problems that forced us into like super optimization mode. And from super optimization mode came the prospect of Quest 2 version.
Wow. So that's amazing. Yeah. You know, that's like evidence that if you just kind of like focus on what really matters and what's important, like it will get you to where you need to go. You know, like you guys weren't doing that for the Quest. You're doing that to fix your game, but then in turn, that's where you needed to be.
Totally. And the Quest version, it just came out of, like, you should see our Twitter, like, just every day, just 20 messages, you bring this to Quest, you bring this to Quest. Another one is PSVR, right, of course, but the Quest one was always you know, please bring this to Quest, please bring the Quest. And then, you know, there was another factor about too in the decision, which was we didn't want to make a version that was Quest slash PC, because we knew, we, from the very, very start, we decided if we were going to do a Quest, it can only be possible if PC didn't suffer in the slightest. There would be no, like, I don't want to use the word downgrade because I'm not having a go at other games that who did take this path.
Yes.
But just, you know, Blade and Sorcery, it's a performance hog. So it would have been mega downgraded if we merged the two versions. So that was a big thing. So that kind of led to the decision too of splitting the titles. And we said, okay, Nomad is going to be a sister game, and it's going to follow the PC development as closely as is possible. However, we reserve that little right to not water down the PC version if the Quest just can't handle whatever crazy thing we're going to put in it. Now, having said that, the only things that really is left in the PC development is the progression mode, and we already feel really good that that's going to port over really nicely to Quest. So the worst is kind of behind us, so to speak.
What about what about the other way? What about the other way of it? Like, what if you guys discover that there are possibilities using the Quest that you can't do on PC? You know, are you guys going to be open to that?
So funny you should say that, because it's like when we were optimizing so we had the PC version done, and then when we were working on the Quest, like to try and, like, obviously, like, the graphics are less on the Quest, and you can only have a limit of three characters, that kind of stuff. So when we were working on that kind of optimization, the push to optimize to the Quest kind of like forced the team to develop new optimization techniques that actually benefited Quest, which is why the PC version U10 is running so great at the moment, is because we had like techniques that we gather from the Quest optimization. So it is kind of nice. It does help in a kind of like passive way.
Well, I'm talking like hand tracking, you know, or like free roam. That kind of stuff.
Right. Hand tracking, I don't know. You're not the first person to say that to me, actually. A couple of people have been asking about it. I don't know the ins and outs, really, because I'm not too much of a tech guy, but I don't know if it could work, because there's a lot of button dependency on the controllers. So, but I don't know. Just don't know enough about it.
Either way, the question, you know, and really what I want to make sure I'm driving this one home is, like, right now, the idea is that you don't want to do anything on Quest, or you don't want to do anything, you know, on you don't want to take anything away from PC to make the 100%. Quest version what it is. But what if with the functionality of the Quest, like the root, like the being able to move around in the space or something like that, offered you guys opportunities to do new things with the game that the PC version would not be able to benefit from? You know, I mean, maybe this would require you guys to maybe start a new title or something. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but I'm just, like, excited about the fact that you guys are here on the Quest and you can do Quest stuff.
Yep. I think, who knows? You can never say for sure, but I would think it's unlikely that the Quest version would influence the PC version. it's much more likely that the PC version will influence the Quest. That's nice. my thoughts on it. But who knows? We'll see. Like hand tracking, stuff like that, like you said, like who knows?
I can imagine conjuring a fireball in my hand and chucking it, you know, that would be fun.
Hey, yeah, that'd be cool. We haven't really chatted about it, you know, at Warfrog, but we'll see. But for now, I can surely say Nomad follows PC.
That's good. You know, I really have to give it to you guys. You announced this game the way games need to be announced. Like, love it. There is an announcement.
Brilliant.
And then less than a week later, boom, buy it. Brilliant. There you go, everybody. It's out. Like, I cannot tell you how disappointed I am when games, the second they get a scrap of gameplay footage, start spreading it and start pushing it out there like crazy, because then by the time the game actually comes out, maybe it's been 12 months, 18 months, I've seen this. It's no, like, where's the hype? Where's the excitement? You know, like, it's like it kind of feels old after that long, you know, but no one was expecting Blade and Sorcery on the Quest. And then boom, as soon as you hear about it, you can play it. Kudos to you guys. Congratulations.
I'm so glad you say that. That's brilliant. It's funny. Well, the thing about it is that we're not really, we're not like kind of corporate in any sense. Like I do marketing for Blade and Sorcery, but I'm not a marketing guy. You know what I mean? So our kind of way of looking at it was, so we knew the Quest was coming out. We knew Update 10 was coming out on the PC. And so the only real kind of thing that we said, okay, we definitely want to make sure is that we release U10 before we even talk about Quest. That was important to us, because we don't want, even for a second, any PC player to think, oh no, they're abandoning PC VR.
This is the Quest.
It's just not happening. That's just not the case. So we really want to make sure U10 was released, everyone was enjoying it, it was going well, and then comes the Quest. Because and then, you know, with the decision to release it so soon after too, it was kind of like, we just thought it'd be fun. We just thought that'd be funny. You know what I mean? Like, to just be, because, you know, 3 years of like, nah, hey guys, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. And then suddenly it's like, boom, here it is. And by the way, it's out next week. we just thought that'd be cool. And you know, we thought that there would be interest because we knew there was a lot of Quest players, but my God, we did not anticipate that scope of interest. So that was brilliant.
Been biting your tongues, right? Like, you guys know that it's coming. So, like, how do you, like, keep your mouth shut, especially when you're getting exploding. All those messages?
I was exploding. Like, because, you know, I do all the social media stuff. So, like, I'm always talking to people every day. And, like, every time I see somebody, like, oh, I wish this would come to Quest. And, like, loads of people would chime in, forget about it, never going to happen. And totally, they're right. They're right. And, oh, man, I'm just sitting here on my desk, like, you know, like, they don't know. Like, they're really going to be surprised. We just thought that'd be cool. For the fans. And, you know, we disabled pre-orders, you know, that was another thing. Like, cause we're trying to do this company the way we as gamers want it to be, you know? Nice. And so, you know, the whole don't pre-order until you read reviews, you know, so it was, you know, we did that too. And, that's it. We're just trying to be a cool company, you know, like a gamer company.
Cool. You crushed this announcement. And I mean, what's the past week been like, you know, like in the office, so to speak? Right? You guys just buzzing or what?
Well, buzzing, definitely buzzing. But my God, you should see my every inbox. And like, yesterday I just got through like 250 messages. Not even counting Discord, like my Discord DMs, emails, Reddit, Twitter. God help Twitter, I haven't even really gone on there to check those out.
So you're just getting blown
it's
up
been nuts.
Then.
Blown up. And it's partly my own fault too, because I try my best, really hand on heart, try my best to reply to every single person who comments or pings me, or because I just want everyone to kind of know that, I guess, like, I acknowledge them at least, you know, like, hey, you took the time. I mean, this is getting into something beyond Blade and Sorcery. This is just my own little life philosophy. But it's like, you know, people are more than just their usernames. You know what I mean? And I think we often kind of forget that. And, you know, you don't think there's a real human on the other side of the keyboard. And so that's always been kind of my community management style. Even if it's just to just type LOL or something like that, just to let someone know, hey, I read this, you're acknowledged, I know you're a real person, that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's getting a little bit off track anyway.
That's good. And it's not really though, because you at the end of the day are a representative of this company. You know, you
are blatant sorcery
for all intents and purposes. So the fact that you guys care, I think, really speaks tremendously to the company and to the game. One thing that I noticed when I popped in there, like right away, was that visually the game looks fantastic, or at least your character selection screen does. Damn. Like, I'm looking at the character selection screen model and it was beautiful. You know, I think I noticed a ton of like glaring differences from the PC version to the Quest version, but I know there must be some that are that are like pretty easy to identify, right? So what could people who own the PC version expect from the Quest version if they wanted to scoop it up?
Totally. And like, if you're coming, like, I literally say this to people, if you're coming from a PC version, you're gonna feel it. Like, you're gonna know, like, if you're so used to playing PC. And I think Nomad is a good looking Quest game. But let's be honest about it. It's a Quest game. So, you know, it's a mobile port. So it's like, so it looks good for the Quest, but compared to PC, if you're coming from there, you're going to see visually, like, the textures will be reduced, that kind of stuff. Like, lighting, especially, that's a huge one. Lighting reduced, shadows, that kind of stuff. You also won't have the same amount of graphics options. We have a ton of graphics options in the original. That's a big one. The limit on the maximum number of on-screen characters in Nomad is 3. On the PC, more than 3. I don't know what it is right now. I think it's like 5 or 6 or something, but I could be wrong on that. But it's more. And that's something. You would be missing the Citadel map from PC, but we're working to optimize that. But if you're a PC player, you would know Citadel. It's always been a resource-hungry map. So we're working on that. What else? The only other thing then is blood and wound decals are disabled by default. Now you can turn them on, it's in the options, it's in the experimental options, however it will impact your performance. So we kind of left it, we don't really like to tell people what to do. So it's like, if you want to do it, you know, like, maybe you'd be doing 1v1 fights and then you'll have no problem,
right?
So it's kind of we're not your babysitters. You do whatever you want. If you're suffering bad performance, just turn it back off, you know. But we don't really have to tell you what to do.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I could have swore that the swords that I was using when I was playing Nomad felt a little lighter than they are for me on PC. Am I crazy? Or is that a thing?
No, it should be the same. The only thing is, the Nomad physics would be more akin to the low physics setting of PC. Now, that shouldn't really impact your sword weight, so I'm not too sure what that's going on. But it's more like, you know, the ragdolls
controller, because I'm so used to using that Steam controller, and then now I have a Quest 2 controller in my hand. It's like a nightmare experience for me.
Exact same experience. I'm using Index right now, and exactly, the Quest controller is so lightweight. The headset too, it's so lightweight. It's like wonderful, in fact. So that's kind of a real benefit of it. But even physics are, like I say, I would even think most PC players are using the low physics settings, because it's a huge performance boost. So really, you're not getting too crazy different physics even between both versions.
Nice. One of the things that people love about doing PC gaming in general, but especially PC VR, is the fact that you can mod stuff, you can change things, you can add assets to the game. And one of the things that makes Blade and Sorcery so popular is its modding community. There's a truly passionate modding community for Blade and Sorcery. And maybe you're not familiar exactly with what mods are, so maybe you can just give us a quick explanation of mods for Blade and Sorcery and how this is going to be a thing on the Quest.
Totally. And let me just say too, on the record, I absolutely love our modding community. Like, I know a lot of them personally. Like, some of them are the ultimate veterans who have been with us since the beginning. So it's so cool. We have like private chat channels on the Discord and stuff, and we chat and mess around. They're the best. These are guys who are just making content for a game they enjoy for free.
Right.
That's it. How can you not love that? How can any game not love it? They're just wonderful people. They just make content that people will enjoy, throw it out there. They do it just for the kind of the cred, you know, like And like myself and Cosby, we both agree, like modding communities add tons of value to any game.
Insane amounts of value.
I just don't get how you would not even see it. Like, it's huge. So we love the modders. We're so appreciative of modders. I mean, I personally play mods all the time. They're just wonderful. So for PC, yeah, you're totally right. It's huge. It's one of the top most modded games on Nexus, which is insane because we're a VR game.
That is actually insane.
Yeah, it's nuts. But for Nomad, so we didn't want Quest players to miss out on this experience either. So obviously, you know, it is a challenge, but, you know, there was a challenge worth undertaking because we didn't want the people to miss out. So we didn't enable it at the start because we didn't really know how the Quest launch was going to go. So we wanted to get a couple of weeks of feedback, honest to God feedback, how it's performing. When people add mods in, it just muddies everything. So you're not really getting good feedback. Big time. So we'll totally be enabling that in a couple of weeks in a patch. It'll begin with, so here we go with the tech things, which I'm not good at. So basically, I don't know all the terminology, but basically it's like the first wave of mods will be things that'll be much more easy to change, like weapons mods, JSON tweaks and stuff like that. Where it gets tricky is bigger, more complex mods that have scripted elements to it. So a big one would be like Star Wars lightsabers, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We're working on that. We're trying to figure that out, how to make this work. And we have some leads on how to make it smoothly work. But yeah, so it'll be kind of like, I guess, a two-pronged approach to the full mod experience. Nice. But yeah, the weapons will be first. I know, like, I'll give a big shout out to my friend Sushin. His medieval mega pack is one of the most popular mods out there. Adds hundreds, I think, maybe even 100 new weapons in the game. And he has it configured so that enemies will also spawn with the weapons, which is brilliant in the new dungeons mode because it's tons of variety. So, yeah, love it.
Awesome. Well, we're definitely all looking forward to mods coming to Blade and Sorcery Nomad. We're going to start to wrap this up, but I am curious, what would you say is something that, like, you wish everyone knew about Blade and Sorcery, right? Like, there's like maybe like a large misconception or like a big nugget of information that's missing, you know, something that you wish everyone knew going in, or, you know, that you have to answer all the time or something like that.
Well, that's a great question, because I actually have something intriguing that no one ever asks me about, so this will be an exclusive. You know, when people think about Blade and Sorcery, they think about, like, it's an action sword fighter game, and that's not crazy. It makes perfect sense. It is an action sword fighter game, but what most people don't really know or realize is actually Blade and Sorcery is a simulator. First and foremost, it's a medieval fantasy simulator, and before anything. And then afterwards, a game is built out of it, this action sword fighter game. But most people don't really know that. And I think, you know, it tends to be one of these, like, polarizing games where you either love it, it's like your favorite sword fighting game ever, or you're just like, what the hell? Like, what is this game? This is trash. And, you know, you get those kind of reviews too. And people are just scratching their head. And they, like, the thing I hate kills me. It puts me in the grave early every time is when I hear people say, it's just a tech demo. Oh man, I hate that so much, because in terms of features, I know this is a big statement, okay, but in terms of features, I would say it's probably the most feature heavy game I can even think of. And now I know there's those people out there who are like getting mad at that statement, but again, yeah, it's like, I think where the disconnect is for people is those kind of people who hate it, they're thinking of games in a much more linear sense of like
a video game
where you're on the kind of track and here's where to go and here's my points I'm collecting and here's an enemy and he's got 100 HP and here's, you know, we don't do any of that. We strip all gaming mechanics out of it. We don't even tell you how to play the game. So it's like, whatever way you want to play the game, if you're having fun, you're playing it right. Because it's a simulator sandbox. If you just want to climb, you don't even want to pick up a sword, you just want to climb around us, you're playing it right. If you want to just goof around and just do stupid things, mess around with ragdolls, you're playing it right. If you want a sword fight, like, actually, you know, you're playing it right. There is no real way of playing it. And for some people, this is like amazing. For some people, they can't stand that. They just want a much more very clear cut. I load up my game. I know what I'm doing. I'm playing level one. Now I'm playing level two. Now I'm playing level three. And but that's my point, is that we're a simulator. And I think a lot of people don't get that. They see sword fighting, they think it's a sword fighting action game, which is definitely 100% part of it, but that's not the whole picture. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, it's a simulator.
Beautiful.
So that would be what I would say about that.
This has been awesome, man. Like, this is a great conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Dev Chats. And maybe you can tell us, like, what's the easiest way to follow the development of Blade & Sorcery? Where are we going to get the most up-to-date information?
I would say the Discord is the biggest kind of beehive hub, you know, of activity. But Reddit is also a great one there. Subreddit, Blade & Sorcery. I'm always on there. I always update that. And then I always update... Steam is a great place for getting announcements. But if you want to be part of me, Discord and Reddit.
I love it. Bauer, Warp Frog, Blade & Sorcery, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations on Blade & Sorcery Nomad, and we are so excited for the future of the franchise. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Again, please like and subscribe. Be a part of the VR community. Leave some comments down below, and we will see you for the next episode. Take care, everyone.